Breastman.
Breastman?
Breastman.
Okay.
He was Dr. Kevin Saunders.
In Breastman? You know, the classic and seminal Breastman. Oh, come on, David Schwimmer. Really? Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I saw that there are not one, but two jewelry sales networks that just sell jewelry.
Right.
One of them sells loose jewelry.
Stones, right? You texted me
Moissanite. Moissanite, really?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is either, but my favorite phrase, I think I texted it to you, said this, there is, you can find rarity in lab-grown synthetic gems.
That's
what I thought. The woman who said that is my hero. Right. Because she will say anything. She doesn't care.
She does not care.
She will say, this up is down. Down is up. Mm-hmm. Buy it. They were selling loose stones to people and telling you that you can make your own jewelry by taking a loose stone and snapping it into a fitting. That's not making jewelry.
No.
One stone popping it in?
So you can take the base, like the setting.
The setting, yeah.
And you can pop it in and change it up. You know how that goes.
That is not anything.
I thought
it was very cool. So I have a piece of, I want to kick off today, if I may.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I want to kick off today with some beer news. We haven't had beer news in a little while.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we love beer. We like to talk about it. This one is called Over a Barrel. Beer duty could kill off UK pubs, campaigners warn.
Wait a minute.
Beer tax, they mean. Beer duty.
Oh, okay.
So what I found interesting about this article is it sounds like it's taking place like in the 1600s.
Yeah.
It says people in the UK are concerned over the UK government's plan to impose a 5% tax on beer.
Oh,
I feel like it should say the master of the town.
The feudal lord.
Yeah, the feudal lord is raising the price of ale yet again. What are we peasants to do? It says here.
Forsooth,
yes. Beer, we should protest. So they, with prices going through the roof, many people have been forced to drink at home.
Oh, get out.
Can you believe this? To drink at home. So I looked it up and it says, it's according to the article, a pint of beer in Britain is unaffordable for a working class person.
What?
It says the average pint of beer costs £3.22,
okay,
which is a little bit short of $5. How much is a pint in New York City?
It's like seven is basic, right?
Yeah. In Spain, though, it comes to £1.70.
Oh.
Which is like, you know, pretty much half that. And these people say, Matthew Sinclair, chief executive of the Taxpayers Alliance, says British drinkers are paying 10 times as much as drinkers in Germany.
That's not 10 times.
Well, that was from Spain, but
It's 30,
it's 32p. It's 50 cents in Germany to have a beer. Is
wow.
that possible? I don't know. So I just thought this was really interesting.
I want to go to Germany now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I read an article that said Germans are drinking less beer.
Why?
So I don't know. Maybe even at 32 pence a pint, it's still very expensive. So people are ready to be up in arms and protesting over beer. I thought that beer was just, isn't the cheapest thing you can drink when you go out?
I think so. I think definitely it's
and $5 a pint. I mean, they got to pay rent. They have employees there. Like,
right.
I don't know what you drink at home. I don't know what to say.
Then don't go out. Nobody wants to see you out anyway.
Yeah, with your cheap ass.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here. Boo.
Good.
So I just think it's weird.
To keep the likes of you from showing your face at night. The cover of darkness isn't going to help you.
How many beers are people drinking that it, like, is cost prohibitive now?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. So that's just a little bit of beer news. Basically, British people, you know, drink at home. Pre-party.
Right.
Pre-party it up.
That's right.
How was St. Patrick's Day in Hoboken as a follow-up?
As a follow-up, well, I went out in the morning to run some errands.
Did you take the temperature every hour?
I did not, because I ran an errand. I had to. And
you were forced to go outside.
I was forced, and everybody was still like very glassy-eyed and happy.
Okay. I love you, man.
Yeah, but nothing was really out of control. I saw cops go into the first bar at 11 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
And I continued to walk, and ran my errands.
Did they bust in, or were they just checking the place?
They had been called.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know what happened. I just said I'm not even looking.
It wasn't doing the rounds. It was like
no. It was like you needed.
Yeah.
But they weren't moving that fast either.
It wasn't like 24.
Then I was walking, and a young man running across the street ran right past me. He had a large black duffel bag, and he shoved the duffel bag into a shrub in front of City Hall. A lone shrub.
What?
A lone shrub. And then ran back. He was to the bar that he came from. He was told he couldn't bring the bag into the bar.
So he stashed it?
In front of 100 people in one shrub. Totally just in front of City Hall. Public property.
How big was the bag?
The bag must have been about 3.5-4 feet long.
So this is like a serious duffel bag. A
serious duffel bag. Like he had all his
like hockey equipment or something.
Yeah. Like a hockey bag almost. And he shoved it in there. I'm like, wow. He just like broke branches on the shrub.
And nobody saw it. Wink, wink.
We all saw it. And he ran inside and he was thrilled. He got in the bar.
Was the bag there 5 minutes? I mean, did you know what happened to the bag?
Well, I ran my errand and I looked and the bag was still there.
That's so weird to me. Not saying that I'm paranoid about this, but I know people are super paranoid about, like, terrorism.
Yeah.
Isn't that sketchy?
That's sketchy. And I wanted to. Like, this is the one side of me that is, you know, my B side.
Yeah, the B side.
I wanted to tell the cops. I just saw him put a bag on in front of City Hall, and it's unattended.
But you know what? Since you're not in New York, if you see something, you don't have to say shit.
That's right. That's the New York City law.
New York City, if you see something, say that. In New Jersey, mind your own fucking business.
Right. Right?
A man's bag is sacrosanct. It's just...
Right. Don't say nothing. Like, I'd be probably thrown in jail for being, like...
Why couldn't he bring his bag in?
Just talking.
What was in there?
Well, whatever. But I guess that was the rule. They don't want a lot of
bags.
No bags? Because it's a tripping hazard. People are drunk falling on shit. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be responsible. People could bring in stuff.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with it. When in Hoboken.
Right. And so I saw that, and I was like, you know what? I already, my B.
The B side,
my
yeah.
inner B mm-hmm. wanted to tell on him. And I'm like, I need to get inside, because I don't want to see more and then have to get involved.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because then it's going to be your problem.
Right.
Well, ma'am, what were you doing when you saw him slashing the bag?
Right.
Do you know this person?
Right. Yes. And I did see, and I guess they had the little cars running down the street, like little, like...
mini cars?
Mini cars there, yeah, from the town. And they were trying to keep people from double parking. So they would come behind
Little
sanitation, tiny little sanitation.
Yeah,
the ones
yeah.
That
the ticket taker people or whatever.
Yes. And so they would beep behind people double parked to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, somebody did that, came upon this van, and there was no driver, but the passenger sitting there was all decked out in green, had green antennas,
mm-hmm.
listening to his iPod and jamming out.
Excuse me, green antenna?
Yeah, they had green antennas.
Why is that a thing? Okay. Yes, because for the bug-like people of Ireland.
Yeah. And he was just jamming out, listening, totally unaware he was being beeped at from mm-hmm. behind.
Getting his Kaylee on.
Yeah. And so I did. I waved to him, and I waved. And he's like, what? And I pointed to the car. He's like, oh, thanks.
Oh, I don't know if you want that guy driving.
Yeah, I just, I really went inside. I said, I'm not coming out again. I didn't even go out to take the temperature.
Probably a good idea. Were you able to, did you order food that day? Or
I got
like
everything
that?
I needed. I didn't want anyone coming to my door.
I don't blame you.
I don't
you.
Want anything happening. And I just listened. You could hear outside. I had to shut the doors to the rooms that had windows, so I couldn't hear the roar of people.
Mm-hmm.
Watching
I movies. Imagine it's kind of like a herd, like in Walking Dead, but a green.
It sounds like it's more like I Am Legend.
Oh, that's right. You said it sounds like the screen.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is our segment called Unpopular Technology and Science and Mechanics.
Yeah.
All those things. Both Katie and I are really freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse. So we like to freak each other out and the listeners out with little tidbits that we find on the internet about what's going on in the world of tech. And how we feel about it.
This is about, in Japan, they have now beer-fueled cars.
What? This is beer news. Awesome.
I know, right?
In England, they wouldn't be able to because they can't afford it.
Yeah, you know, they go on and they say Japan doesn't have nuclear weapons.
But they got beer.
But
what?
They have beer. Well, what they do is they actually have a car that runs on sake. And it's not like industrial alcohol. It's not like an alcohol... Mm-hmm. thing. Like
I find this...
anything in there. It is actually
sake
drinkable.
Is sake. Made from rice. And remember they used to derisively call Japanese cars rice burners? Now we have it. They've reclaimed it.
Right.
With a sake-fueled vehicle.
Right. You know, so they're just saying that they now have engines that can run on alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Fuel.
And now, right. And so now they are adapting the engines to take beer.
Okay.
So you can run a car on your beer.
I see now the beer shortage of 2015, where no one could get a drop. Right. All the pints in England are going right. straight into cars.
So, but then there'll come a time where you have to make a decision. Are you going to drink it? Or are you going to get somewhere on it?
I want to know. Well, is a gallon of beer cheaper?
That's right. That's the only.
Okay. Than a gallon of gas. Not in England. Clearly.
Not in England, but you know, think about that. No, think about like how much is a keg or how much is
with the deposit and all that? Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe it's just gonna be really
Can it be a 40 beer. Ounce?
Yeah, right. Pouring 40 is a bigger thing.
Some little OE into my car.
Yeah, but then you'll really see what people are all about when it comes to
what they fill their cars with?
No, or if they're gonna go anywhere. I mean if you're gonna stay home and drink the beer.
Mm-hmm. Or you can put it in your car.
And go somewhere.
I would like to, because I'm classy, I'd like to fill my gas tank up with some Moe.
That's what you want to
do. Yes. I don't want to put Common, what, Budweiser?
Yeah.
Can I put a Mike's Hard in my car?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
That's what, we'll find
out. Well, people
out.
Will be, instead of stealing gas, people will be siphoning.
Siphoning beer.
Beer
and
up.
Not going anywhere.
Nope.
They're just going to be leaning against the tire.
Yes.
Drinking the beer. That's what's going to happen.
This
You're
going to
need new locks for your gas tank.
Yeah, to stop people from alcoholics and young people probably.
Yeah.
From drinking your car.
Or go to an urban environment. Yeah definitely.
And urban
people are just
going to
be walking around with straws
with
like
long ass straws.
Yeah.
In the shape of a gas tank.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's it.
Why do they come up with that?
Just
they don't have gas. That's what we're saying.
No, they just
OPEC, watch out. Budweiser's coming for you.
I know, that's all they came up with it. They're always thinking.
Yes, they're always thinking. So I have a piece of news here that my husband sent, and we got some legal, hey, you know it.
Okay, Greg is your husband.
Yes, Greg is my husband, and sometimes he sends us news, and then we read it. So he sent me this about the judiciary. It says, judge resigns after admitting improper IMs with wife during court, but
what?
Denies steamy content.
Okay, so instant messaging.
So he was instant messaging his wife during court. Now, this is the judge.
All right.
A New Mexico judge, Eugenio Mathis, mm-hmm. of Las Vegas, New Mexico. I didn't know there was Las Vegas, New Mexico. He has resigned following allegations that he sent IMs to his wife, who is a court employee, during trial and other proceedings. And I've been to court before and seen the judge read the daily news. So whatever. So Judge Mathis of Las Vegas admitted that he had, in fact, engaged in excessive and improper IMing with his wife, but denied that there were any communications, including intimations of courthouse sex. So basically, he was sexting his wife.
Okay.
All right, which I don't think is a big deal.
What's
but
going on under that robe?
Exactly. I'll see you in chambers. Mm-hmm. Sidebar, wink, wink. Mathis admits that he violated the court computer and internet use policy.
I have a sidebar for you.
Wait a minute. He was using the court's internet to do this.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't even like his own, you know, provider.
Oh, what?
He said that he made disparaging comments about other judges.
Uh-huh.
That's why he probably got in trouble.
Yeah.
That he referred to parties in a case as chigando, which is acting crazy. I'm thinking that's a slang. And he made judicial statements about cases. So they looked at the chat logs. Filed with the state Supreme Court in support of the petition, don't identify the speakers, but the messages are presumably between Mathis and his wife. Uh-huh. And according to the journal, it says, one of the messages that he sent his wife, don't come knocking if the jury room is rocking. So not only is it of a sexual nature, but it's creepy.
Yeah,
that's
not that
sexy.
Great.
It's sexual. It's not sexy.
Right.
So this guy, it's like, really, you're a judge. And if you've been in a courtroom, the judge is like a pretty prominent figure in
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, like the focal point.
Yes.
It's like, who cares who's on trial? You're looking yes. at the judge like, oh.
And he or she is higher up.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, under all the banners, all that kind of stuff.
Everybody's
looking at them.
Everybody's addressing the judge.
Yeah.
And it's like the lawyers are. Everyone's like, judge, what do you think,
but,
judge?
But he's looking down at his lap. Because he's IMing his wife.
Oh, my God.
Sexy stuff. Really? I mean, you're bored in your own courtroom? That's on you, man. If you can't jazz things up in the workplace, that's on
terrible.
You.
You need to go.
Can you imagine the lawyers giving, like, an opening argument? And you just look over and you just see the judge looking down, like, every once in a while. Like, because you can tell when people are texting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They have a glazed over look. You can't see their hands. And their shoulders are kind of hunched up a little bit.
Oh, my God.
But the balls of this guy. He says, though, it wasn't sexting. That's his only defense. It was improper, but there was no sexual content. I would be happier if he was just sexting his wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Well, I guess he was, you know, saying that he wasn't touching himself.
I hope not.
You know, that's the thing.
Those robes are voluminous. I've seen an off-the-shoulder robe before in court. It's not cute.
Oh, no.
It's not cute at all. What do you have in your arsenal?
I have Discount Celebrity. I'm going to
perform
for you today.
Okay. I'm going to sit back.
Okay.
So Discount Celebrity is a segment we do where, look, the economy is still tough. It's even harder in Hollywood. Producers, directors, casting people, everybody is looking for the next hit wonder, the next Christian Bale. But guess what? They don't have Christian Bale money.
No, they don't.
And so we're giving them the Discount Celebrities. When you can't get Nicolas Cage, where do you go? You come to us, we tell you who to get.
Exactly.
So Katie's going to bust out and perform with an amazing alacrity.
Yeah.
The Discount Celebrity.
Here it is.
Okay. Better be good because I built it up.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off with our A-lister today.
Okay. Who is it?
David Schwimmer. I'm calling him A-list. He's a Hey You Know It A-lister.
Don't back off of it.
I'm not. We're making faces.
Like,
so
I'm calling him an A-lister, but guess what?
We know. Yeah. Okay. So David Schwimmer is known best for his role of Ross Geller on Friends.
Okay. What else is he known for? His role as Ross Geller on Friends.
Basically. Well, he was born November 2nd, 1966 in Astoria, Queens. His birth name is David Larry Schwimmer.
Okay.
His nickname is Schwimmer.
That's quite inventive. How did they come up with that one?
His height is 6'1".
That's
1.85 meters.
I didn't know he was that tall.
Though he was born, yeah, I know, right? He does not come across as tall.
No.
I don't even think about his height when I look at him.
He comes across as prone.
Yeah.
Like supplicant. I don't know.
Though he was born in New York, he was raised in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem. Though he was born in one place, he actually went to another to be raised.
He was encouraged by a high school instructor to attend a summer program in acting at Northwestern University. So inspired by that, he went to Northwestern. He received a bachelor's degree in speech and theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1988...
Then the big bucks rolled in.
Well, not quite yet.
Yeah.
We're in 88, okay. And he co-founded Chicago's Looking Glass Theater Company.
I didn't know that. So he's actually legitimate.
Yeah.
What happened? Anyway.
He did with 7 other people. Yeah, so that's his...
That's his thing. Company. That's cool.
He is married to Zoe Buckman.
Okay.
In 2010, they got married. I thought he was married for a while.
Who would go there?
And he has one
I'm
child.
Thinking about the show. He was married on the show a couple times.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm thinking. There's, I don't even know Friends. I just know that character, Ross, right?
Right, right, yeah. Exactly.
With Rachel with the haircut.
Yeah. He was born on his mother's birthday.
Oh, what a disappointment.
Let's see. Before Friends, Schwimmer competed against high school friend Jonathan Silverman and actor John Cryer for a role in the TV pilot Couples in 1994. Oh.
Did that happen?
Yeah, and Jonathan Silverman won the role.
Okay.
But then ABC gave it a thumbs down. The show was...
John Cryer has just done something. I used to really like him when I was younger, but now I'm disgusted. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Jonathan Silverman's all right.
Well, what they did with it, they took that show and they reconceived it.
Okay.
For single people.
And they made it Friends.
Made it Friends.
Wow.
And then they got the David Schwimmer.
I wonder how Silverman felt about that.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, he could not have been happy.
Yeah.
Not only did they can you the show, they just decided it was just you. It was just you. They just wanted to change it up a bit.
Right.
Not working.
Let's see. He has worked extensively on the stage as an actor and a director.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the board of directors of the Rape Foundation for the Rape Treatment Center of Santa Monica.
Oh, that's cool.
That's nice. Yeah, he's totally into it.
Odd phrasing of a name, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's really too negative.
Yeah. I mean, or it's just like, hey, this is what it is. Let's not try to, like, sugarcoat it.
Right.
Because they clearly are not.
Went to the same high school as Angelina Jolie.
Okay. So he knows what she actually looks like.
Right. Well, I don't know if they were in the same class. Are they the same?
I don't know.
So. Lenny Kravitz, Jonathan Silverman, Gina Gershon, Crispin Glover, Albert Brooks, Elizabeth Dale. Like, they all
Albert Brooks. Okay, they're just listing anyone who went there.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a bit long in the tooth, Albert Brooks.
He said in an interview once he would like to become a public school teacher after Friends.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
I think the kids would be annoyed by him. If they'd seen Friends, they wouldn't listen to him.
He wouldn't last
in
a public
school.
I'm thinking of like inner city.
There's a good reality TV show. Well, actually, they did one with Tony Danza.
Tony Danza as a teacher, yeah, right?
How did it work?
It was kind of interesting.
I actually believe him as a teacher. I think he'd be pretty good and pretty hardcore. And then he could do a little soft shoe.
He was, you know, he really was very genuine with the kids. He really wanted
That's a quadruple threat when you can also teach a public school class and sing and dance and act.
He has an older sister named Ellie. Oh my God.
Schwimmer is an unusual name. I've never heard that before.
No.
Do you know anyone named Schwimmer?
No.
See? Besides David Schwimmer and Ellie. Now Ellie
Schwimmer.
It seems
Schwimmer. Like a name. You're right. No, but it seems like a name that should be common, but it really isn't. You don't know any Schwimmers.
No.
He was going to direct The Persuaders with George Clooney and Hugh Grant in the lead roles, but the movie got scrapped.
Okay.
He was in the movie Pallbearers, and he was so busy with that. That was in 1996. He missed Lisa Kudrow's wedding.
Oh wow. Snap. What a loser. Yeah, he missed it.
Yeah,
Lisa Did he Kudrow. Not get the invitation in time?
Oh, that's his friend.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
He turned down Ben Affleck's role in Chasing Amy. He turned down Will Smith's role in Men in Black.
Thank everything that's out there.
Could you imagine the Men in Black franchise?
No,
with
I love
Schwimmer?
Me some MIB. It's all about Will Smith and his pointy ears.
It's totally about Will Smith.
And his big
How
ears.
How in the world, like, they went to him first?
First of all, who doesn't like a little black, white, buddy cop action? Tommy Lee and David Schwimmer? Who wants to look at David Schwimmer? Wow. Like, I just imagine him, you know, just like,
Everybody. He's from outer space.
How could he play... Like a tough, scrappy guy with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, but still has some sexuality. He can't do that.
No, not at all. I just can't believe he was considered for that part.
Me either.
He's also allergic to cats.
I'm not surprised. I'm sorry. I don't have any patience for that. Just no.
His personal quotes. I've made a good amount of money. I'm very happy that I can now support my theater company and support friends and family.
So he's just paying for everybody. He's paying his way. You guys didn't like me? You like me now.
You like me now. How do you like this, Benjamin?
Yeah. Is this the David Schwimmer night again? The gala for Schwimmer? Good Lord.
He was the first member of Friends to receive film offers.
That's right.
He was. And he said, I said to the group, here's the deal. I'm being advised to ask for more money, but I think that instead we should all go in together. I don't know why he's talking about this. Oh, yeah. Use the opportunity to talk openly about the six of us being paid the same. I don't want to come back to work feeling like there's going to be any kind of resentment from anyone else down the line. And that's the reason, because if he was going to be in movies and getting paid more and being paid more for Friends, because he's now a movie star.
But weren't they all getting like a million an episode towards
him? Something like that, but he was the one with the idea, like, let's all go together and negotiate with our agents.
Wow, so he's not a real popular guy amongst producers, then, I would guess. And that's actually, I gotta respect him for that, though, because most, traditionally, actors have, they try to grab up as much money as they can.
Yeah, but he knew it was an ensemble show, and any kind of animosity that they had off camera would really translate.
But it's really his show and Jennifer Aniston's show, isn't it?
No.
I mean, I've never seen Friends, but aren't they the most popular Friends?
No. They switched the storylines around a lot, so everybody got it. It's an ensemble.
Who was the dark one?
The
dark-haired one.
They're all dark-haired. We got Matthew Perry.
Girl. There was a dark-haired girl.
Courtney Cox.
Okay. See, she's less popular. You could even identify her as the dark one.
We're talking about guys. Also, I had was male. On my mind.
Oh, there's that small Italian one.
Yeah.
Joey. Okay. I didn't watch the show. I know the whole Rachel and Russ or Ross or whatever.
Oh, and here, going back to his thing, he goes, to be perfectly honest, I feel I have a duty to use my celebrity status in a positive way.
What's he done? Oh, the rape thing.
He said, most rape victims are women, so bulk of the discussion is loaded towards women. I thought I could find a way to approach the subject of rape in such a way that men are going to respond to it, which is...
I like that. That's who's doing the raping.
Right.
It's not our fault.
My most devastating moment was when a 13-year-old girl told me her story. At that moment, I realized how important the center really is. Nothing else... has ever made me connect with reality like that.
Wow.
So he has a lot of empathy to other people.
So once he became famous, he realized that life sucked for a lot of people, and he actually did something about it.
I think
that's cool.
Well, I think he used, and maybe he was more empathetic a person.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that you would have those kind of experiences normally. You know what I mean? Most people don't have that kind, don't develop that kind of empathy until they talk to someone. He's dealing with an issue that, for all intents and purposes, doesn't really have anything to do with him. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's not like when people are like, someone in my family got testicular cancer and now I'm stumping for it.
Right.
He's not saying someone in my family was raped.
He's just saying, this is, I hear about this issue.
Yeah. And I'm concerned about this issue. I like it.
Which is good. And I give him a lot of
props.
Yeah, absolutely. And he also has campaigned for legislation to ban drugs such as Rufinol and GHB.
Oh, that's right. Because those are the date rape drugs, right?
Which is really good. He dated pop singer Natalie Imbruglia for a while.
Who?
Natalie Imbruglia.
I'm torn.
Yeah.
Oh, that she's a discount Nelly Furtado.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor girl. She had that one song. It was in Reality Bites or something.
Yeah.
And now it's over. She must be not happy now. Not only does no one knows who she is. Her name's unpronounceable. She doesn't have any hit songs. And she lost David Schwimmer.
That's right.
I hope she's still out there. Stay strong, Natalie. Anything can happen. It can come back around.
Right.
Look at Lil' Kim. She's in the news.
Right.
Anything can happen.
Absolutely. I didn't know this. He directed the 2007 British film Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Did you see that?
I saw
with Simon Pegg, right?
With Simon Pegg.
And Tandy Newton?
I am not sure, but okay. I liked it.
Nobody saw it.
Yeah, but it got 1.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, damn.
And it said, most disappointing how Schwimmer, who spent 10 seasons on the sitcom filled with hyperverbal characters, manages to bumble Fat Boy's tender moments.
Wow.
I was like, no, I thought it did a fine job.
Really? Well, you're alone. Because 1.5 stars is pretty weak.
Well, I'm pro David Schwimmer at this
You're
point.
Pro Schwimmer? I'm only pro that he's a
decent human being.
Yeah, he seems like a decent human being.
He might be even more decent than Jason Bateman.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Yeah, he might be because of the rape thing.
That and just, and you know, concern about the other characters, and he founded a theater. There's a lot of...
He sounds needy, like the characters he plays. Like, he wants people to like him.
So we all want people to like us.
I don't give a F. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and...
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. Give me the rundown on some of his work.
Okay, he was in Flight of the Intruder, Crossing the Bridge, 20 Bucks, The Waiter, Wolf, The Pallbearer, Breastmen.
Okay.
He was Dr. Kevin Saunders.
In Breastmen? You know, the classic and seminal Breastmen.
The Thin Pink Line.
Oh, come on, David Schwimmer. Really?
Kissing a Fool.
Oh, Lord.
Love and Sex. I don't know what that was about. Picking Up the Pieces. Hotel. Madagascar.
Love and Sex? Was that a remake of the Charles Grodin film?
Nobody knows. Okay.
No, shut that down.
All the Madagascar movies.
Okay.
Dwayne Hollywood, Uprising, The Iceman.
Wow, really, really nothing. Really nothing.
No, there's every year he's doing something, but nothing that you like.
Nothing that you've seen.
Like, you don't approve.
Did you see the thin pink Breastmen or whatever? Blinds?
No.
Breastmen?
No.
Okay. That's a good last name, I think. Phil Breastman. Breastman. Phil Breastman. Anyway, so he is the A-lister for us.
Yes.
So if you cannot afford David Schwimmer.
You're going to go with one Jonathan Silverman.
Oh, snap.
His friend.
His friend. Okay. Silverman, not for long.
Silverman was known for his roles on the TV series Give Me a Break.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the films Brighton Beach Memoirs.
That was him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Caddyshack 2.
Oh, no. Not really a film at all, people.
Weekend at Bernie's.
I love Weekend at Bernie's.
Everybody loves Weekend. And you know what's funny? Weekend in on the show Friends, Rachel's favorite movie is Weekend at Bernie's.
I love Weekend at Bernie's. I'm telling you, when Greg and I were on vacation in Mexico, they were playing it on the bus, and we were rolling.
Bus?
Mexican, because they have films on the bus.
Okay.
The buses in Mexico are better than the planes here. I'll put it that way. So we're watching Weekend at Bernie's. We are laughing so hard. Oh, Mexican people are like, I don't get it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, what?
I know. It's like one of these holes in my popular.
All right, we're doing that one weekend. We're doing Weekend at Bernie's and Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, my God.
Jonathan Silverman. Love it. Go ahead.
He had this television show in the 90s, The Single Guy. Mm-hmm. And David Schwimmer appeared on an episode.
Wow.
Because they're friends.
Hey.
He's been on CSI. You're doing the Joey Lawrence
role. I know, because it's just lame. That's what I'm trying to give you is lameness.
Let's see. He was in another sitcom, In Case of Emergency,
mm-hmm.
In the Bold and the Beautiful.
In Case of Emergency, shut this. cancel the show. I do you remember watching The Bold and the Beautiful? I watched that for a little while.
I remember it's just like
is that the half hour one?
Yeah, yeah, just too much. Bold and the Beautiful.
The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Got it covered. The two.
Yeah, I liked it. It was short.
Beethoven's Big Break.
Okay.
He guest starred in Psych and Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, so not much at all, really, lately.
Yeah. So he was born August 5th, 1966, in Los Angeles.
Okay, but he was raised in. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, birth name Jonathan Elihu Silverman.
Okay.
Height 6 foot, half inch.
Oh, see, he doesn't measure up.
1.84 meters. Mm-hmm.
Clearing the 1.83, which is really what we need.
His spouse is Jennifer Finnegan. He's mm-hmm. been married since 2007.
Okay.
And the trivia, he's friends with David Schwimmer, like I said.
Yeah.
Okay. And his grandfather is the world famous Rabbi Morris Silverman.
Okay.
World famous.
Yes.
I just want you to know.
I don't, you know what? I don't know any rabbis.
I don't know.
I don't know any famous rabbis. I don't know anything about that.
I don't know either. Yeah, you don't get like a big rabbi. You don't get the big mega temples, like the mega churches that we have.
Well, you have some very charismatic rabbis, because I live in a Jewish neighborhood. So you have some very charismatic rabbis that come around and I see ads for them, but I don't know how famous they are.
Like, what are they famous for? Their wisdom?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't get
I know some famous cantors come around. That I get, because they're doing the you know, the chanting and that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
But you need a good cantor.
You need a good cantor, yes. But famous rabbis, I don't know. I have to look into that. I'm going to have to ask some of my chosen friends.
Yeah.
Who's the best rabbi in town?
And why?
And why?
Yeah, we need to know.
Yeah. If you know what makes a fantastic rabbi or could recommend a really just hot rabbi, let us know.
Yeah, because we need to know what's
who's
going
world
on.
Famous. We can look up this guy and see what he's up to.
Yeah. So he went to the same high school as David Schwimmer and everybody else I named
yeah.
before. They were all
Albert
there
Brooks.
Together. Albert Brooks, Crispin Glover, Betty White.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie, Nicolas Cage.
One of his personal quotes is, "I'm a native of L.A. I've seen the city change and develop over time. And I still believe there's no place like home. We Angelinos get a bad rap."
You do? No one cares.
People think we're not much of a city, but we've got great beaches, beautiful people. The Clippers, the Kings, the Sparks, the Dodgers, and the Lakers. So sports. What
do
more
people,
do we need besides a pro football team? That's like his world, I guess.
What do people say? Like, I always hear people say this about this city. Like, people think Chicago is this. I'm like, I don't think anything about these cities. I think it's another city that I don't live in. It can be anything. New York City can be so many different things to so many people. Like, I don't know what to say.
He's got a... I know, right? He's got a couple of things in post-production right now. He's
okay.
got something called GBF, where he plays Mr. Daniels.
Okay. And any information or no?
Nope.
Okay.
Another dirty movie. He plays Uncle Irwin.
Is Ew. That one of those?
Probably one of those.
Like another teen movie.
Another horror movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Saved by Zeros. He plays Johnny Mann.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dead Serious. He plays Irwin. Again.
No Weekend at Bernie's 3?
This is like he played Uncle Irwin in one and then did Irwin in another one. And then Icky, An American Dog Story.
Oh, for the love of. Wow. Okay, so yeah, we're serving discount here.
Yeah, no. And other movies include White Collar, Swinging with the Finkels, Cookie.
Swinging with the Finkels? Is Finkel? I know Finkelsteins. I don't know Finkel. Okay.
Then another one, Married Not Dead. There's a lot of TV
wah,
here.
Wah, yeah.
Medium, Psych.
But
Numbers.
He's been had guest appearances on
so he's been
1 hour
steadily,
shows.
Yeah, steadily working.
Oh, that's good. He's getting his face back out
very
there.
Very low.
Yeah.
So he, you know, is friends with David Schwimmer, has been considered for the same parts. They were mm-hmm. on the same shows.
But he's just not getting hired.
Right. They both have done film and television, and mm-hmm. he's both lower level TV and film. I mean, that's
wow.
it.
Wow.
That's it.
So I am curious.
He doesn't do anything. He isn't doing anything for anybody. He's just, and his grandfather is the one that's reaching
that's
out to
carrying
people.
Carrying the rate.
Yeah.
Carrying the flag or the torch or whatever.
Yeah, it's the one that's doing the humane
doing
thing.
The work.
And David Schwimmer's out there helping people. So,
what's the discount for these guys? So we've got David Schwimmer, the A-lister, and then he's being served
60% off.
60% off. Wow.
Yeah, because he's just not as, you're going to get the same-ish thing.
Yeah,
but
same-ish. I don't even know if I want that.
Yeah.
The way you sold it to me, I'm just, you know what, take it back. I want a refund.
It's going to be just that you're not going to make a lot of money. You're just not going to make a lot of money with him.
Where does, and you know that going in. That's why you're not willing to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
Where does John Cryer fall into this?
John Cryer. We already did John Cryer and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, but I mean, where does he fall into this David Schwimmer?
Oh, no, they were considered a couple of the same roles. But, you know, I think that John Cryer aged himself out of those really quick. I think, like, he had developed
He just looks
look.
Like crap.
He does. Yeah, he does. And so he doesn't, he now is not, he can't hold that.
And look. that two and a half men, which I'm not into, I cannot watch at all. His character just looks like somebody who might try to grab your boob. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that at all. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I like it. All right, so here we are in our lovely segment, Hey, You Will Know It. We have the amazing Marcy Currier with us. She's an intuitive and a tarot card reader, and she's going to do an advice on advice reading for us.
Yeah, so we have advice on advice, which is where we get advice that is, frankly, unqualified and stinks.
Yeah, and we improve upon it, and hence advice on advice.
So we give advice, and Marcy is going to do an additional reading for the people within the article.
I like this. Cool.
Okay.
So the first one is, this is from The Week. And it's in the Tough Love Advice column by Starshine Rochelle.
Okay.
You can probably do a reading on that name. And the title is, I Can Never Remember My Boyfriend's Name During Sex. Help!
So, are you kidding me? The boyfriend who she has a relationship with, suddenly she doesn't know his name.
Well, here's the situation. Okay. Dear Starshine, any recommendations for how to remember your lover's name in bed? After nearly 4 years with the same guy, I've got a new one. And I cannot for the life of me remember his name where we're in the throes of it. And I have to stop myself from using the last one's name. I got stuck saying, oh, babe, so that I don't accidentally yell out, oh, Mike, which is the ex's name, instead of, oh, Steve, which is the new guy's.
Oh, no.
I'm constantly terrified. Suggestions?
Oh, wow.
So here's, well, she could go the Sarah Palin route and write it on her hand.
Yeah.
And then just look at it.
Well, first of all, one of the responses is, hold on a sec. You want me to rustle up sympathy because there's too many men making you have ecstasy?
I like that.
She has some good recommendations. She said you should you have more important things on your mind during intercourse than just doling out the proper credits, which is good for you because you should be in the moment. But try using his name a lot when you're not naked. For example, can I offer you some delicious kale chips, Steve? Which sounds like a great way to drive a man out.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Steve. Who's your favorite brother-sister actor pair, the Cusacks or the Gyllenhaals? Or so, Steve, did I ever tell you about Mike? So then it says to visualize yourself having sex with other kinds of Steves, like Steve Buscemi or Steve Jobs.
That is terrible advice.
What kind of...
This is amazing.
I don't know. But
not even Steven Seagal.
I like this one, though. This says then picture Stevie Nicks dancing around. I'm all right with that. With Stevie Nicks.
Are you kidding me?
Wearing fringe?
No.
That's awesome. Like
Mike. So my advice I have some advice for the columnist, which is maybe going to stand up.
Right.
Really?
But.
You clearly are.
Go ahead. She's very into being funny and making jokes.
And she is quite funny.
Yeah, she's quite funny. I don't think this is real advice. Marcy, what do you have to say?
We're going to pull a card on this.
And
we're going to go, what's going on here?
Because this woman is clearly very sensitive to the person with the problem.
So the card that I pulled is the High Priestess, which kind of echoes what I was thinking, which is that when she is being intimate with her partner, she's not present in the same way that she is when, like, if she's sitting around eating kale chips with him,
for example.
So part of what's happening is, like, her consciousness is different. It's just actually different.
All right.
Now, in a technical sense, with this card meaning, it might recommend some celibacy till she works this out.
Oh.
I bet she's not trying to hear that.
Because she's got to put herself in another place in order to do this. It's not necessarily the ecstasy that's bringing her there.
I think she just jumped. She probably just jumped from Mike to Steve without
even
thinking about it.
So my sense is that she's dissociating a little bit.
Oh.
And we all do this. And we definitely do it during sex. Like, any time that we're experiencing something that's, like, heightened or more intense than what we're doing in our day-to-day, very often, parts of our consciousness will just sort of drift off.
That's terrible.
The advice is...
You would think during sex someone could take the time to
be
there.
I feel like that's the time that, like, many people check out.
They start thinking about grocery lists.
It's also, like,
really.
It's the most deeply intimate act that we do, and we're terrified of that, for the most part.
We need to look away every so often.
Right. Anyway, so the advice here is to not get too carried away. The cards that come up are the Knight of Wands reversed and the Eight of Wands reversed. So Basically, there's almost when she, according to the cards, it's likely that when she is having sex with her partner, that she's like it. That the moment is taking over her. It's not a connection thing. It's not a I love this person.
So
thing.
She's just having a party.
It's
up
an
there.
Animalistic, yeah. You know, sex thing. So the advice is to not get too carried away, but also not worry about it too much, and just kind of.
Okay.
You know,
let it ride.
There
as
are other
ride,
things, and
as it were.
There are other things to worry about, and
this is not that big of a deal.
But also to be aware of the fact that this comes from a little bit of emotional, like the desire to disconnect emotionally.
It sounds like it to me. If you can't remember the person you're having sex with,
then something's going on. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not.
And she's just having. It sounds like she's in a monogamous relationship with this new guy.
Right.
So it's not like she's screwing a bunch of guys.
Right.
Right.
And she's got to keep them straight because we all understand that.
Yeah.
Flipping around. Flipping into her own
thing.
Yeah.
Her own bank.
So
as it were.
So, you know, the cards recommend, just as a little recap, possibly some celibacy till she gets this worked out. But if not, then
if you can't do that.
If that's not what you're doing, just at least don't get so carried away and then don't worry about it so much. Because the other thing is, how often have you been in that situation where you're like, don't say Mike, or whatever. And like
but then it turns into say Mike,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
There's
exactly.
no way to get
Whatever
away
you
from
do.
It. Yeah.
Like if you meet someone with like
don't
a big mole
door,
on their face
yeah.
and you're like, don't mention the mole. Mole!
But then you
like,
end up
yeah.
talking
yeah.
about a mole of another kind.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
animal mole, which
yeah.
you would never talk about normally,
yeah.
but it
yeah.
keeps coming up.
So when we, you know, that pressure that we put on ourselves not to say something brings it so fully into our consciousness that it's bound to come out.
I totally did that with somebody, their dog died and they were so upset. And so then I talked about the story of how I was holding a puppy and I dropped it.
Oh,
oh
my
no.
God!
You were the worst!
That. It was awful.
Katie,
it was
really?
A funny story.
Oh,
and everyone
no.
was like, stop it.
Like, this is not
okay. But you couldn't.
But
you couldn't stop it.
Ixnay
but the,
on the puppy.
I bet you the moment you were like, I once had a puppy, and everyone's like,
no. People are like waving
but you're like,
at you
no,
from
no,
behind.
This has got to continue, the story. I got to, but wait till I finish.
Wait, it's going to
yeah.
get, it's
yeah.
good.
It's going to go better.
Oh.
And then I
and
dropped
like,
it.
Please stop it. And he's like, so upset. He's like, just stop. And I'm like, but I got to, you'll feel better once I get to
no,
the point
Katie.
Where
when I would love to be around for these Casimir moments.
Me
I'm never
too.
There
this
when
is
Katie
wonderful.
Is doing something inappropriate.
I love it.
I'm never yeah. there when you've had one too many.
You have seen
or,
me drunk.
But I've also been drunk.
Okay.
Right. So you're both.
So I both thought we were it. Looking good and feeling fine
and
being appropriate.
And I don't drink, but I can just come get like contact drunk with you.
Okay.
If you want.
You don't want that
kind of
drunkenness.
Inappropriate. I say.
So then you don't need
that's
to drink
good.
No.
if you're inappropriate already.
No.
That's what Kathy Griffin says. She's like, I don't need it.
No, I don't.
I'm already there.
I definitely don't need it.
Really?
Cool. Well, thank you for doing that.
Thank
lovely
you.
That
reading.
Was wonderful. I wish both the advice giver.
Starshine
and the person with the question, excellent luck in this.
Thank you. Where if people want to reach you, Marcy?
Give me a call at 860-823-8605 or email me is even better. Marcy@metamarcy.com. That's MARCY at METAMARCY.com.
Great.
Okay, so I have a reality TV roundup.
Oh, okay.
A reality TV roundup is when I go on the internet and I find all the new reality shows that I can, and I try to present them to you. I have no intention of watching any of these shows. I'm going to tell you right now, people. But I think you should know about them.
Okay.
So I've gone on a religious theme with these two right here.
Why?
Because I saw an ad for a TV show that was like the preacher's daughters.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Did you see this?
Yes.
This is going to be on Lifetime. TV for white women. Huh. Preacher's Daughters is said to give a behind-the-scenes look into the lives of teenagers whose fathers are Christian ministers and how they handle worldly temptations with the guidance of their parents. Ooh. Now, this has got to be this is from the Christian News, because I was like, I'll get it from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
Preacher's Daughters captures the intense moral, social, and sexual. And that's
what
and spiritual conflicts these daughters endure as they weigh whether or not to break free from strong beliefs or blah or stay with them. So what I saw in the commercial looked like a lot of young nubile girls
yeah.
deciding whether or not they should get their freak on with
or
with some guy their age. That's like the
it.
Big struggle. Because what are the when you're a teenager and you're in a religious household,
yeah.
what is the it's always about
it's,
sex.
It's all about that. It's all about keeping it under wraps.
It's never I don't remember because I grew up in a quite religious area. I don't remember people being like, you need to be good and be truthful. I remember people being like, keep your legs shut.
That's exactly
it's evil.
What it is.
So
it's get it don't even get out there.
It says here the there's another show also called The Sisterhood, which is going to show the behind-the-scenes look at the everyday lives of five wives from Atlanta whose lifestyles are different from the ones that they portray. So it's going to be women who I guess are Christian women, and they're going to show them dressing provocatively.
All right.
Giggling about sexual matters and living on the edge in a variety of ways, including getting tattoos.
That's edgy.
That one scene shows a woman laughing as she opens a gift bag from her husband with a pair of handcuffs in it.
Oh.
So I guess these are the wives of preachers.
What?
It doesn't seem to be the sisterhood. So she says...
Unless these are nuns.
No. I mean, they wouldn't be
that
married.
Would be,
that would be interesting.
Okay, they're married and they're getting handcuffs and tattoos. That,
yes.
That I'd watch.
So she opens a gift bag from her husband to find that he's giving her handcuffs.
Ooh.
And then one of the people says, "You better watch yourself, girl. People don't expect a preacher and his wife to have a good sex life. People don't care
don't
and don't want to know.
And you shouldn't be telling anyone about
Why
it.
Why is it difficult?" So it, she said, it's very difficult for a first lady.
Ew.
Is that what they're calling themselves? I always had the impression that a preacher's wife had to do a lot of service.
Yeah.
And was kind of like, you know, that she was helping her husband out with her thing. Apparently these women are getting their freak on.
Yeah, and they're
titillating. So this is two shows and it's sex.
Keeping themselves and putting themselves on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But nobody else is.
We always loved it in our community where the preacher's wife got taken down a peg.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. As Catholics, you guys miss out on that.
Yeah.
It's fun. Too. Usually, and we used to have these preachers, the preacher's wife, sometimes they were like too sexy for their own good or, you know, or the preacher was putting
That's
it about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Get the,
so then there's a third
them.
One.
Get them.
Get them. There's a third one called Preacher Wives. It's outspoken ladies who work to ensure that their churches run as smooth as Southern churn butter. This is produced by the same people who did Real Housewives of Atlanta, so we can guarantee there'll be weaves,
mm-hmm.
there'll be tasteful white wine,
yes,
and there'll be backbiting, as we like to call it. We're excited to work with TLC to profile the lives of strong-willed women, I'm guessing black, and tell it like it is. And it says, with most praise in religious communities directed towards male preachers, we are thrilled to give these remarkable ladies the spotlight they crave and desire.
Ew.
How I mean,
spotlight they crave and desire.
Here's the thing.
What, they deserve to be in the spotlight because they're preachers.
Because they're preachers' wives. All of these reality shows are about the same thing. It's trying to make people get look caught. They're caught out. There's always sexy stuff going on. People are always drinking and snatching weaves.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, and I'm not religious, but I would think that the Christian News Network would be upset about this.
I think that they should get clips from all these shows.
And like, put them together.
And you have to guess which show it is because it's going to be snatching a weave, drinking.
Yes.
Talking about sex. And
yes.
And you don't know.
You don't know what it's going
to
be.
Yes, it has to be a panel of people who have never seen the show. They have to match up the title.
I just want to say, I mean, and on the other hand, if you are a Christian, this is some pretty racy, interesting stuff for you to watch. Like, I don't know if it's going to make them look
like
good.
Yeah, it's like sanctions.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
because they're Christians.
Yeah.
A lot of people in reality shows are Christians. But that's not the focus of the show. The focus of the show is always snatching a weave,
mm-hmm.
having too much to drink. You know, having a fight, you know, cat fighting is always a big thing.
Yeah.
So if this is going to be Christian cat fights, might watch it.
I don't need to. I don't care.
I don't like the girls one, though.
I don't care about any Christian themed anything.
I think the Christian theme of this is going to be light.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like an over, you know, like they're supposedly going to be Christian. It says here, while it is not known whether preacher's daughters will be as risque as a sister. Now, it shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't even be wanting that.
But indications suggest that the broadcast rather demonstrates how teenage girls can overcome temptations to sin and without embracing the world and its lusts. Where's the Preacher's Boys one?
Right.
That's what I want to see. But I just feel like the idea of like a preacher. I had a friend who was the preacher's daughter. And you know what? She was just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Bad. Running around. Getting in trouble.
Smoking.
Trying to have sex.
Right.
I don't get it. But anyway, that's what's hot. That's what's out there now. So those are some, if you want some Christian-themed ratchetness, as Rod and Karen would say.
Rod and Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips.
Yes. Then get on to Lifetime and see Sisterhood, Preacher's Daughters, and then you can run on over to TLC and see Preacher Wives.
Right.
Lame. They're running out of things to do. Where's our reality show?
That's right. Where
Ghost,
is it?
Ghost Redneck Podcast.
Yeah.
Blue collar work. Christian. Reality. Singing, dancing. show.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank
you want to close out?
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review.
Yes.
And we will read it on an upcoming show.
Not 4, but 5 people.
Yes. And for these reviews, for any email that you send us, we will send you a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yep.
The official shot glass of Hey You Know It. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're on Tumblr. Why don't you follow us there? And we're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow us as well.
You can also listen to us on Stitcher.
Stitcher, too.
Yep.
Stitcher.
You can listen to it in your car, at work, when you're supposed to be doing other stuff.
That's exactly.
Right on your desktop.
Right. So, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Won't you show me I have another one I just wanted to follow up with that Greg sent me. It says here, a lawyer was tried to bill 3,500 hours for a year. That is 10 hours every day, 6 days a week.
Really?
For an entire year.
Oh, my God.
So as a result.
He's a hard worker.
Disbarred. 10 hours a day?
That's excessive. So he was pretty just.
Just having fun with it. I can't believe he worked. It's
just having fun with it more than
either. Like, it's either 10 hours a day or 9.5 hours every single day. Either way, I don't believe that's possible. I don't think anyone could work that much.
And for that long.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
But he did bill for it. He's probably like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
What's the problem?
Care. Does not care.
Doesn't care at all.
No.
He thought it was going to go through. Just pay me. Don't worry about the work. Did you get the bill? Yeah.
Results, no.
Yeah.
You want to know what the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The cases? What?
Yep. This was in 2007 and 2009.
Oh, I know. I was working.
I was working my butt off.
Yeah.
Look at this bill. Look at this bill I presented you with. Come on.